the Phil Henry Show. If you're going to cue me, man, just throw the finger at me, will you? Taylor's going to cue me. And it was like a half cue. And I went, Fuh! You should have seen that. He goes, yeah! And so I'm like, Phil Henry Show. It's opens like that that explain to you why our show is the number one rated afternoon drive talk show in Los Angeles and soon to be across America. We just got the statistical data in. We're just collating our information. We are downloading the mother-father computer. We are number one afternoon drive talk show in L.A. God, was that easy. Man, that was easy. We just started in March. I thought it would take about a year. 3 months later, number one. That was easy. So that's beautiful. Also, I'd like to say that Penguins, the caffeinated mint company that we've been plugging for free on the air, we need another box of mints, guys. We need another box of mints, all right? God, do we love these things. Penguins caffeinated peppermints and Penguins decaffeinated peppermints. Taylor found them over at Tower Records. I don't know how he finds this stuff. You know, he finds it. He brought it in, and we started popping these things like Benny's. And they're really great because, you know, there's a little bit of bad breath going on around this show, especially, after we eat our lunch about 1 o'clock, and it's usually something Chinese. So by 4, look at that. Schaefer's in there. He's just shoveling them down. And when he gets home at night, you know, Gretchen's looking at him going, what's wrong with you? Ever since you started this show. So anyway, it's always nice when we get free stuff. Not that we're pining away for it or plugging for it, but you guys are a little late. Oh, you say you got another box in there? Okay. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Large drivers demanding safety belts fit for all. And we are going to get on the line right now someone who's going to talk not only about large safety belts, but someone who we've had on our program before and has discussed at length the issues around being overweight or fat. Roland Selb is with Fat Pride out of Anaheim Hills, California, is on the line with us from Anaheim Hills. And you are going even further than demanding safety belts. You think that cars should be made larger. I'm sorry, Mr. Schwinn, right? How did I get Selb?
No, Ray Selb is with our organization, Phil, in Los Angeles, and that's probably why you confused us, because I know Ray was in touch with you.
Okay, Ray was talking with me. We have Roland Schwinn on the phone, and my apologies, Mr. Schwinn.
That is perfectly fine, because I know that we've been exchanging phone calls for the last couple of days.
Well, let me get right to it here. There's a woman by the name of Elizabeth Fisher who was shopping for a new car. She went to look at a Odyssey, which I believe is manufactured by Honda. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
She sat in the car and found that it did not have an ample seat belt. And when she asked the American Honda Motors company that makes Odyssey for a longer seat belt, they said, well, you know what? We don't make longer seat belts. You can get seat belt extenders, but we don't recommend it. And anyway, she has filed a petition with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration asking for it to review its standards. She wants longer safety belt.
Phil, let me back up. What Ms. Fisher is asking is what we are asking, that there be new uniform standards written for automobiles and automobile safety devices that include those of us who are bountiful, those of us who are fat and proud, the bountiful and the proud.
Now, these are terms that you use in your organization, bountiful and the proud.
We do not subscribe to terms like overweight, and we do not subscribe to terms like obese, because we are very proud of our physical state, and we are very happy with our physical state. We feel ourselves to be emotionally as well as physically healthy. That is why we call ourselves the bountiful and the proud or the fat and the proud.
Okay. You're asking for larger automobiles, period, correct?
Yes, we are.
Why?
Well, from my own experience. And anyone who has test-driven a car who is fat and proud or bountiful and proud knows that automobiles in general are not made for larger people, for the bountiful and the fat. The seat belt does not fit. When I went to test drive an Isuzu Trooper, an automobile which I think very highly of and which scores very high marks in Consumer Reports, I too encountered a seatbelt problem. But beyond that, I also encountered a general size problem in attempting to fit in behind the automobile.
Now, there was a when you went to test drive this Isuzu, was there a fire?
There was an incident with the car that they want to hold me responsible for. And I told them that I do not feel that it was my fault, but I can tell you in general terms what happened. And
well, was there a cracked steering column?
A cracked steering column. I got into the car, and I literally had to exhale to get in behind the wheel. It was when I inhaled that I was pressed up so hard against the steering wheel that it lifted the wheel and cracked the steering column. And I am told it sent steering fluid down into the oil pan and a fire ignited. And thank God I was able to get out of the car because it was a very, very tight fit. And it was obviously not very comfortable.
Now, Mr. Schwinn, you're telling me you test drove an Isuzu Trooper, you inhaled, and you busted the steering wheel column?
What happened was I inhaled just to take a normal breath.
Well, you had to exhale to get into the car.
Yes.
Wasn't that your tip-off?
No, my tip-off was that I would be able to adjust the steering wheel.
So you were not able to?
No, I was not able to adjust the steering wheel to the point where I had to inhale to breathe, lifting the steering column up, cracking it, and then causing a fire in the oil pan.
And so Isuzu is blaming you?
Well, we're talking about that, Phil, but there is a larger issue. The automobile is not big enough. And because the automobile is not big enough, that caused the fire. Now, there is a larger issue. If these cars are difficult for those of us who are fat and proud to get out of, in the event of an automobile accident, if we are trapped inside the car, many of us carry, as I'm sure you can imagine, a higher level of body fat. If a fire breaks out, we become living grease fires. It is difficult for the fire department to fight. You can talk to safety people who are involved in fighting fires.
All right, well, because you have a higher level of body fat, you're saying that if a fire breaks out and, God forbid, a fat person starts to burn...
We are like a grease fire, like a walking incendiary grenade. They have used foam instead of water. In one instance, a man was trapped inside of his automobile at 400 pounds, and they had to use aircraft foam to literally put the fire out. That's what we're up against. What we want...
All right, I want to know what it is you want, because I don't know that you're going to get it. If you're saying that you want longer seat belts. Now, I know that there's a standard uniform seatbelt length beyond which you have to go and get extenders.
Yes, but the automobile manufacturers cannot guarantee the safety of those.
Yes, I know that. But to say that the cars need to be made bigger in general means that they need to be less fuel efficient in general.
Well, we have saved an awful lot of money on fuel in this country over the years. It's really not about fuel-efficient cars. We maintain it's about the market artificially raising prices. We want larger cars because if we're trapped inside those cars, it is more difficult to cut us free from them. I mentioned the grease fire aspect. I mentioned the fact that there is a heavier weight in terms of trying to manipulate the automobile out of traffic. A number of things can happen if you're not very safe. And that's what we're talking about. And Phil, I will take a break for you right now because I have to get back
Well, no, wait a minute. We had an interview planned.
No, I understand that, but I have to get back. We are toasting a retiring member of our organization. We're at a luncheon here this afternoon. I'm out at the in the lobby of the Prawn Hotel.
Oh, okay. Well, you get back to that. I'll give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills, who believes, along with a few others, that seatbelts need to be made longer. Right now, they have a standard seatbelt length. And you can't get it around a lot of fat people. You have to buy a seatbelt extender, but the car manufacturers do not guarantee the safety of those. Additionally, he thinks that automobiles should be made larger, period, to enable fat people to get out of them quicker. Otherwise, as he put it, not me, they become walking grease fires inside those cars. 1-800-449-8686. And I know that we're joining Mr. Schwinn at a luncheon for one of their retiring members this afternoon in Anaheim Hills. I will just ask you a very quick question, Mr. Schwinn, and then we'll take a break. What are the companies that right now do not guarantee these seatbelt extenders?
Well, no company does, Phil. But Isuzu, Subaru, Porsche, Kia, and Hyundai, and Honda, they will not vouch for the performance of a seatbelt extender in a traffic accident. And as far as I'm concerned, these are these companies that will do nothing to guarantee the safety of the fat and proud in a car. They want to murder me. And that's what I find particularly difficult to...
They don't want to murder you. They just don't want to guarantee your safety in a crash, okay?
Well, they'll guarantee the safety of others in a crash to a certain extent, but they want to murder me because what I think is an unfair view toward my body type.
All right, Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's kind of a complex issue here, especially when you're talking about a guy who wants a larger car to get into so he's not trapped in that car. And he mentioned the fact that if a fat person's trapped in a car and they become a grease fire, that means the fire is tougher to fight and the surrounding community could be at risk. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. On the line with us is Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills. There is a petition circulating with a government agency by a lady who a seatbelt basically couldn't fit around her, and they can't guarantee the safety of those seatbelt extenders. A lot of these car manufacturers. She wants safety standards changed. And Mr. Schwinn, you want cars made bigger. And does that include the safety standards?
No, if the cars are made bigger, for those of us who are of Fat Pride, then you don't have to have the safety standards. But I'm saying that there is a danger to the community at large, for those of us who are fat and proud, to be cut out of an automobile during an automobile fire is a very dangerous thing. We're much, much bigger.
And so you're big and you're fat, and there's a lot of fat that's going to burn. So what are you saying?
You're endangering the lives of firefighters and the surrounding community.
Well, can you? Are you telling me that a 400-pound guy is going to ignite houses?
Yes, I am saying that someone of that size can ignite 7 or 8 homes because of his size.
God, that's a lot. That's huge.
That's what we're up against, Phil.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carlsbad on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. I can understand this man's. This man's concerns with being able to not get out of the car. But I don't see the responsibility being put upon the car makers to make a different sized car for every single segment of society.
No, I didn't say every single segment, did I?
No, you didn't.
I said make them larger.
There are other people who do have troubles in cars also.
I'm saying make them larger. Make them larger.
Excuse me, I'm trying to make a point here.
You misstated my point, sir. Make the car larger so that there won't be any problem.
I think here, though, that we would be trading off problems. We would be trading off a larger car, which is inherently more dangerous to other drivers on the road when you get into inherent accidents. We see that with the SUVs already.
Look, when you crack the steering column on an Isuzu.
Yeah, when I was first driving an Isuzu, I cracked the steering column. Yeah. And that's just because I inhaled. Now, is this man would have me believe that by taking a breath, it's my fault?
I'm not saying that either. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that we're trying to accommodate, I think, a very small portion of the population.
Is that right? And what portion is that?
The portion that are having trouble getting out of a car.
What is the percentage of the population?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, then why are you saying very small, sir, if you don't have any information?
You don't have any information.
Then why don't you hold your opinion until you have the information?
Please, I'm sorry. I thought I was asked to give an opinion.
No, you don't have an opinion based upon any information.
Please,
you're asking me to give you information after you give an opinion based
on... Okay, all right. We understand. The guy said he thinks it's a small portion. What's the portion?
Of the fat and proud, about 45 to 50%.
No.
50% of the society
is
overweight.
Oh yes.
I want
more than one half of all Americans are overweight.
In these cars.
What is that? What's your question, sir?
The proportion of people who are going to have that much trouble in a car. It
the proportion
of American population.
Well, sir, you may be in the kind of physical shape where you an automobile accommodates you, but I am telling you that up to 60% of all Americans have a difficult time getting behind the wheel of a car.
And where did you get your information?
I get my information. The DuPont study from 1995 of National Highway Administration, as well as University of San Diego's study on obesity and auto size, which was the late 80s. That was the late 80s study that prompted all of this.
And says that 60% of the current population or of the population at that time
can't
have trouble
squeeze,
getting in a car.
Cannot squeeze behind the wheel of a car, yes.
But I find it difficult to believe that you inhaled and cracked the steering column.
You know, Phil, I'm not interested in what you find difficult to believe any more than I'm interested in what this man thinks the percentages are. I have the facts at hand, and I'm telling you what to believe.
Did you hear what did you say?
I said I have the, I'm sorry?
What did you say?
I have the facts at hand.
I'm sorry, I couldn't make that
I out. Said I have the facts at hand, and what I'm trying to say to you is, this is information that I have. We
yes.
didn't get your information.
No, I'm just seeing from the people that I see on the road.
Oh,
it's true that I do not...
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say.
It's true that I'm not... Yes. Please let me speak.
I'm letting you speak, sir, but you don't have any information.
I'm saying that from what I see in everyday life, and perhaps I am wrong, but I do not see that many people having that much difficulty getting behind the wheel of a car.
Can I got to ask the guest, are you... If you're eating, you need to swallow or...
I'm not too sorry. I respect the gentleman, and I respect his need for information, but I think we all need to have information before we need to express it.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Springfield on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Springfield, hello. Okay, Springfield gone. Here is Corvallis on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to make two comments. One is, he talks about wanting to have a cheaper way to how making cars bigger isn't going to affect the money. Well, I got a cheaper way to handle it. Go on a diet. Stop spending money on food.
Do you think I bet you think that's an original point of view.
And two,
I bet you think that's an original point of view, don't you?
Listen,
I can tell you, I've heard that point of
view. I'm very sick and tired of people crying and complaining for me about the whole world.
Well, you know, I bet
for
you know,
me.
Sir, I do not anymore. Why should I change for you? Why should I change for you?
You want everything to revolve around you.
No, not everything.
Change?
Not everything. Just car sizes so that
it
we don't have
not,
to be a working diesel.
There isn't a smart manufacturer who thinks it's even worth it to change for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
there's
a good point. Why would the automobile manufacturing industry feel it worth it in terms of money?
You know, Mr. Henry, there's a little thing called a boycott. And
it's
an awful
not
lot
worth
of organizations,
it to them at all.
An awful lot of organizations have engaged in economic boycotts, and those who are fat and proud to do the same thing.
I totally disagree with you.
Do you think that the percentage
of people is even worth it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the percentage, and I'm sure that other gentleman doesn't either. But if I walk down the road, one out of 10 people weigh 400 pounds. So why are they going to consider making cars for people who weigh 400 pounds?
Well, I didn't say 400 pounds. I said one out of 10 people have difficulty squeezing behind the wheel of a car.
Well, look
at a bike.
What about that argument that you should lose weight?
I'm not going to change my lifestyle just to make you happy.
You're not going to change your life, but manufacturers have to change theirs.
Well, then they got to do it.
And the world has to revolve around you. Once again, we're back to you.
What did you say?
It's all about you.
No, it's not all about me. I said that I'm a hog.
But you're making it sound like it's all about poor little fat people. And...
Well,
it's the same thing about poor gay people, poor gun activists, poor me crap.
Are you fattest? You must be a fattest. And if you're
what is fattest?
Everybody crying about everything.
No, I am saying that we have to roll back the attitude of obesity.
And Phil, you have a great show, and I don't know where you get these people, but they're funny.
You know what? I'll tell you something, sir. You may think it's not so funny when a man explodes in a grease fire outside of your home. Thank you very much.
My dad weighs 500 pounds. He's been 500 pounds all his life.
Well, try setting fire to him and see what happens.
You're telling me you broke a steering wheel?
You're true.
Holy.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We got, I think we're hooked up back at Anaheim Hills to Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride. And we got to this press release here. Basically, what Fat Pride is asking for is the redesign of American automobiles so that those who are, quote, fat and proud can fit behind the wheel of a car. There is a woman in, I don't know where, Elizabeth Fisher, somewhere back east. She wants to she wants the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to review their standards because the seatbelt won't fit around her. And seatbelts won't fit around a lot of overweight people. And seatbelt extenders that one might buy in a auto parts store, the safety of those in an automobile accident are not guaranteed by the manufacturers. Seems to me, Mr. Schwinn, the auto manufacturers are saying, look, you guys are taking your life into your hands out there.
So, just because I choose to live my life as the fat of the clown doesn't mean that I have to be murdered by Honda or Hyundai or any of these other companies. And you remember Johnny Cochran when he said, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. What we are saying is, if we can't fit behind the wheel, then we're not going to sign the deal. And that is what we're saying with Fat Pride. If we can't squeeze behind the wheel of a car, then what good will it be?
You're at a banquet right now for one of your retiring members?
Yes, Ronnie Sheldon, who is a tremendous and was one of the founding members of Fat Pride in Southern California, is retiring from the organization at the age, mind you, of 78 years old. He weighs 410 pounds. He is proud and he's full. And he is,
yeah, but I understand this is a luncheon, correct?
You're having lunch as well, yes.
Okay, so what are you doing now?
I'm just passing the tray of dip, and what we will do is...
Okay, what I would ask you to do is swallow your food before you talk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Jacksonville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how
yes, sir.
You?
Fine, sir.
Hey, I weigh 320 pounds.
That's wonderful.
I eat a lot of damn food, and that's why I weigh that much.
Yeah.
I got plenty of room between my steering wheel. If my stomach hits my steering wheel, it's time to quit eating.
You have plenty of room between you and the steering wheel because you're making yourself accommodate to that. And I'm saying don't be a slave to it, that's all.
Hey, man, you need to put down the buffet tray and quit eating.
No, you know what I'm saying to you? Right. I don't have to put anything down.
Well, then don't drive, man.
No, the automobile manufacturers of America owe you and me a car we can sit into.
You're a beast.
No.
Buy a 1960 Cadillac.
Well, you weigh 325 pounds.
And I'm fat.
Well, why aren't you proud of that?
Why?
You.
Jesus Christ, there's no need to be as fat as you say you are.
Well, then why are you as fat as you say you are?
Because I like to eat, but
well,
I quit.
You know, the day you get trapped in that truck and you start a grease fire that's six city blocks long, then you come squealing to me. Yeah, you remember, you do.
All right, let's go to San Bernardino on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Yes,
Thank
ma'am.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
You know what? This gentleman here, I want him. Why is he so bound and determined to get a small car? My father died in 1990 and left me his Cadillac sedan DeVille. The driver's seat belt is long enough. That
another
it reaches
trial.
Clear over to the passenger seat.
There is so much room
Wait a minute.
Between
the steering wheel. Hold on for a minute, ma'am. Mr. Schwinn, what are you doing?
No, I was having some of the cheesecake. It's a triumph. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead. Are you there, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, so you're telling us about your granddaddy's car?
He left me his 73 Cadillac sedan DeVille. The driver's seat belt reaches clear over to the passenger seat.
Well, you know what,
Sir, let me finish.
Are you telling me to buy your grandfather's car?
Let me finish.
Well, why are you talking about your granddaddy's car? What do we care
about? You should get an older,
No, I'm not
car.
Going to do that. No, I'm not going to spend
he
any money for that.
A bigger car.
No, I won't.
Does he have any...
I won't do it. I'm going to get the kind of car that I want to get.
All right, well, I can't make him shut up. Here is Gainesville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
If he wants to have another type of car, why don't he buy a bigger one? Number one.
No, I'm not going to get a bigger car.
The second thing is, if you want to have clothing, you have to go to a big man's shop. You cannot go to any other place to
buy something. But why should I have to pay more?
And if you cannot force the clothing stores to have your car is your size, you cannot force the auto industry to buy you a Sherman tank.
No, no, no. That Sherman tank, see? When I was in Charlottesville, Sydney.
Oh, come on. You can't even talk between somebody can understand.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
We can't understand you so long as you're eating that cheesecake.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
I can't understand him. Okay,
okay,
bye.
Hold on for a minute. Okay, you were saying?
Well, the guy hung up, all right? 1-800-449-8686. Here's Norwalk on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah.
This gentleman, for no reason should he be driving. If he does not fit
I
in that car...
I have a wonderful driving record,
look,
sir.
If you don't fit in that car, you know what? To make a long story short, I think you are liable for that car you busted.
How am I liable for the car?
Because if you didn't fit to start with, why did you get in?
First of all...
And then you keep talking about fat people burning, and it's a bunch of lard, that all this and that. Why don't you guys take that in consideration and stop eating?
Here.
I'm sure you have some kind of health problems.
It would be like burning lard if I caught fire in a car.
But why would you get in a car where you would even think you have a chance of catching fire in?
First of all, the Isuzu Trooper is highly rated by the Consumer Reports. Number two, when the dealer said get into the car,
You know what? There's a lot of places that customize cars.
Yes?
Why don't you buy a car, take the seat out, put it in the back seat? Why
that's
don't you sit in the back seat of the car?
You know something that's insulting? That is obesist.
You know what?
You are obesist.
No. I don't have anything against any kind of people at
that
all.
That is the most
racist. Size or anything.
That's racist.
And when I heard you say that about you got in the car and busted that steering wheel,
mm-hmm.
I had to call
sir,
and let you know that you were just too...
I am in the regalia. When I get into the regalia, I can fit into the car, but the state of California will not allow me to be in my regalia. Okay.
Now, what is regalia? Is that when you take your clothes off?
That is correct, yes. That is part of Fat Pride.
You mean your clothes is that much? It takes up that much room?
Yes, because I wear
flannel. That much room?
I wear flannel shirts and...
Why?
What?
Why don't you just solve your problem, buy a pickup truck, put the seat in the back... And you're done.
I need a new car because I've got blisters from my old car's steering wheel rubbing on my stomach.
Look, there's a lot of places that will customize a car for you. If you need it customized that bad to where you can get into it,
that's right.
You need to take that
out. So why not customize the car?
Mr. Henry, I don't want to go through all the expense of having a
customized
car.
So why do you want the manufacturer to do it for you?
Because I have a right to have a car that fits me.
I think it's gonna be impossible to make. Notice a lot of people that are small cars. Why? Do you feel safe in a small car?
No, because it gets too good, man. You don't need me.
No, I think to make your life easier, you need to buy a car that will be able to be modified to fit you. You need to adapt yourself to the car.
What?
You need to adapt yourself to the car instead of the car to you. What are you going to do?
No.
You need to put whatever it is you're eating down.
Okay, hold on for a minute. How much money do you think it's going to cost me to modify a car?
How much money do you think it's going to cost them to do it?
And
Do you think by them modifying the car, is going to be cheaper for you to buy it?
Do you even see this?
You're not...
My question. Do you want that car?
Before you buy the car, you can call them and tell them to customize it to your satisfaction, then you'll be happy with the car.
No, but you don't.
You're going to pay it either way. You're going to pay it at the dealer, or you're going to pay it in a customizing shop. Why don't you just... I don't know.
No,
what is it? Lock yourself in your house.
No, what is it?
Don't go out.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you saying?
When are you going to have the baby?
When am I going to have the baby? What the hell? Are you there, sir? See,
yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
No, what are you going to do?
No, if you're asking me what are you
gonna
do, buy the car,
no,
have it modified, and
what do you mean, when are you going bowling?
When are you going bowling?
When is who going bowling?
You.
I don't know. I'll have to talk to my wife about that.
You're going to the
what?
You're going to go bowling.
I don't understand what you're saying.
What?
Love his husband.
Oh, swallow your food.
I said that shows that you guys are stupid.
It shows how much
All
I'm
right.
stupid?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
You're just being ignorant.
Right, okay.
You're being ignorant to the
well, look,
fact
I,
that
look,
you don't fit
dessert.
Behind the wheel of a car.
All right, well, they're serving dessert. I got to go.
Yeah.
Get a load of that guy. He's got to go. They're serving dessert.
Yeah, he's got a problem.
All right, sir.
And it's
thank,
not just obesity.
Thank you for your car.
All
your,
right,
thank you for your car.
Bye.
That's a better thing to say. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. My old man had a gold Cadillac, and of course the first words out of my producer, no, Melissa Morgan, very sweet lady who writes for our show, first thing she said was he a pimp? Yes, Melissa, that's of course my father was a black pimp driving his gold Cadillac. Oh man. Anyway, you know what, it's a logical question. He had a gold caddy. My old man was a salesman, for what it's worth, and a white man on top of that, but I guess we're all pimps to some degree, but he had the caddy. He had a gold Cadillac with a white marshmallow, white convertible top, white marshmallow interior with the faux mahogany dash, and I think it was like a white leather wheel on this Cadillac, man, and it was white walls, too. And it was a caddy. It was an Eldorado. It was a 63, I want to say it was a 63 Eldorado. And those were the days, okay? Now, this is back when Cadillac was the car to own. I mean, it was the luxury car to own. So, a lot of you guys don't know this, but the Caddy was the luxury car to own. My brother-in-law has got a Cadillac, I think he's got a Fleetwood. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's the old-style, wide-body, fin Cadillac, you know? Big, wide gas hog of a thing, and he loves this thing. He's got steer horns mounted on the front of this. I mean, he has wired two steer horns to the front of this thing, and he cruises all around like San Diego in this. And back then, there was one rival to Cadillac and one rival only, and that was the Lincoln Continental. Now, if you look at Lincoln today, yeah, I suppose you like it. I mean, the town car isn't bad, but this was a set of wheels, man. Lincoln Continental was this big, boxy-looking thing with those big-ass headlights on the back. And if you want to know what it looks like, just look at the Zapruder film. Kennedy's sitting in one when he finally gets... I swear, it says 63 Lincoln Continental is what they used. Those were the presidential... the presidential... what do you call it? It's limousines. And those babies, man, they were like, they had bulletproof everything. They were huge, man. Would it be cool just to, I wish to God I could get a Cadillac and look good in it now, but I'm too old now to look good in a Cadillac. The only guys that look good in Cadillacs are under the age of 35. You guys would still look, you would look awesome in a Cadillac, Taylor. Me, I'd look like a fat, stupid old man in a Cadillac. By the way, Kennedy could have used one of those bulletproof shields, you guys at Lincoln. I don't know what you were thinking, but I know. Hey, that's a slogan. Lincoln, what were we thinking? November 63. At your local Lincoln dealer. Lincoln, what were we thinking? Dallas. Anyway, well, Kennedy didn't want the bubble top. They were going to put the bubble top on, and he said no, he wanted to wave to the people. So it's his own damn fault. Anyway, it would be a nice thing to own a Cadillac, and I don't know how many of you are Cadillac aficionados. I know that they are still a valued and treasured automobile. There was an awesome thing, man. I don't know, the Discovery Channel or something, the history of the automobile. I think it was on Discovery. It was cool. And what they did is they counted down the top 10 cars in the history of America. Did I tell you guys about this? God, I wish I could remember what number one was. But, like, number three was the 12-cylinder Duesenberg from 30. This thing was a 12-cylinder. It had 350 horse. The thing not only was luxurious, I mean, it had, like, a separate mahogany dash kind of, you know, a tuck-and-roll place for the limo driver. Then the back seat. It was just a 12-cylinder monster. And the thing just, you know, got all kinds of speed. That was, like, number three. The 57 Chevy Corvette was, like, top five, the 1960 Corvette, or am I thinking of the 58? I forget which. And they had, and I think Caddy was up in there. You know, Cadillac was like in the top 10. The, I don't know, maybe the 56 Fleetwood, something like that. That's another one. We had Cadillacs all growing up. My old man, my dad was working at a gas station and went out and bought a Cadillac. Come to think of it, he was black. But anyway, I'm kidding. Well, come on. My old man's working at a gas station at night, and he's selling insurance during the day, and we're all a bunch of screaming babies running around on the floor with no place to sleep, and he's got a Cadillac? Yeah, there you go. I guess draw your own conclusions. That's a sad commentary. I didn't draw those conclusions, folks. My racist producer, Mike Schaefer, did. Anyway, he had a midnight blue. Hey, Dave, if you're listening, check this out. A midnight blue 56 Cadillac Fleetwood. And this thing was cherry, but it was one of those big things that you see in those Frank Sinatra mafia movies. Did you ever see The Godfather? There's a few caddies in that, some 1950s Cadillacs, big bullet fenders on them. You know, they got those big two bullets on the fenders. Big, frightening, scary, awesome, 3 miles to a gallon monstrosity. Weighed about 7,000 pounds. You know, you could take out a police station with one of these. You could take out a Sherman tank with one of these things. Really beautiful. So that's it. And when I think of those cars, I think of how cool they would be to own one, but I can't own them. There's no car that I look good in. I'm not going to go out and buy a car like that. I look like an idiot. Now that I can finally afford maybe to buy a car like that, I'll look like a colossal moron. Only guys like, you know, Taylor here, you know, my younger compadres, they can drive around in a Caddy and look cool. But I look like a bald old jerk. Just like these old guys I see driving around in those Mercedes, those 250 SL, you know, those little Mercedes sports cars. And you see those guys with their gray hair and they think they look like, Danny Ungaeus or whatever, Danny Sullivan sitting there, man. And they look like a Dorcas. So I'll just stick to my little four-door sedan piece of crap that gets 1,800 miles per gallon. What am I going to buy? What am I going to look good in? The only thing I'd look good in, the only thing I'd look right in is a truck, a pickup truck, 1959, shotgun rack, hip flask. Schaefer says to me, well, then buy one. I don't want one, man. I don't need to haul furniture anymore, okay? Now I can afford to have a guy haul my furniture. I went out, I bought a truck. Why? Because I needed something to haul my furniture in because I was moving every 2 weeks. And that's when I bought that Chevy Blazer for the same reason. And in those days, I had season tickets to the Rams. I wanted someplace I could lie down in after coming out fourth quarter after 14 monster beers. So I could lie down in the back of that thing and not have to get it and drive right away, okay? I don't have that kind of car anymore. Instead, I got a wife. So she can worry about driving it. So I don't know. I think probably what I'll do is just stick with the piece of crap that I got. Let my wife enjoy the big, you know, the big fat side of life when it comes to cars. And I'll hitchhike. I'll ride my skateboard. I'm going to get one of those mopeds. And just try to decide what's better, the truck or the wife. Yeah, no, the wife's better. It's a great thing. It's Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And we have a big announcement coming up. Our 2000 CD, our year 2000 Best of Phil Henry CD around the corner. We're going to make an announcement as to how you can get a hold of that and where it's available and how much. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.